what's creepier, the commercial or the doll itself? 99.1 PLR, Chaz and AJ in the morning. Ruth?
Today we're talking about Little Miss No Name. So this is a doll that came out in 1965. Hasbro unleashed her onto the world. So this doll, okay, she's barefoot. She's wearing like a burlap sack. And she has one little sad tear sliding down her cheek. And she's got these humongous eyes. It's the most pathetic, sad doll you've ever seen.
Please, sir, I'd like some more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Daddy, where are you, Daddy?
I have no shoes.
I have no shoes and a tear running down my face.
My feet are cold and dirty.
Yeah.
I don't even have clothes, Daddy. I'm wearing a potato sack.
And she doesn't even
Was she naked
name?
Before she found the sack? And where'd she find the sack?
Yeah.
In the garbage.
Yeah, right?
Daddy, I was looking for my meal and I found my clothes.
The kids say I smell like turnips.
Well, what are you wearing if you're digging through a garbage can, you see a potato sack and say, you know what? That's actually better than what I have on right now.
That's not bad.
Outfit of the day.
Oh, man. So it was supposed to encourage empathy in children, and it was kind of a response to Barbie, but
missed that mark.
Yeah.
Wow, like the opposite of Barbie. Barbie's like, you know, that girl in school that has, yeah, right.
I've got cars. I've got houses. Yeah. I'm going to space.
Everyone wants to be me.
The space one got me. I'm like, yeah, Barbie.
And then Barbie
space.
Gets a name. This girl doesn't have a name. It's just Little Miss
No Name.
Little like, Miss No Name.
Exactly. She doesn't have a name.
So what names did they go through before they said, you know what? She's so poor, she doesn't even have a name.
She's forgotten her name.
Daddy, please, I would like a name.
Where to?
I have no daddy.
We're too poor to give you a name. We should call you No Name.
Yeah, Barbie's like, I have a dream house. And Little Miss No Name's like, dreams are meaningless.
Yeah. Dreams aren't real.
You guys ready for the commercial?
Yes.
Here we go.
Have you ever wanted someone to take care of? Someone who needs lots of cuddling and affection? Someone you can give your love to? Well, that someone is Little Miss No Name. She's the doll who needs more loving care.
Oh my God, listen to this sad music in the background.
It sounds like the beginning part of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, like when he's real poor.
Yeah.
Or the Little Rascals during a very sad moment.
It's like they're washing their clothes out in like the big bin with the board.
And there's holes in their socks.
Yeah.
So the commercial, she's like out in the cold and she's looking so pathetic. And, yeah.
Her head. Look. She has a tear on her cheek. Little Miss No Name is sad because she doesn't have a pretty dress. She doesn't have any shoes. She doesn't even have a name. But she does have big brown eyes. Most of all, Little Miss No Name has a heart filled with love. Give her a kiss and hold her close. Take your comb and make her hair look pretty. Little Miss No Name needs a home and all the love you can give her. You'll find Little Miss No Name standing in the snowstorm box at your toy store. Take her home.
She can't even get a nice day. She's in a snowstorm box.
We don't even
no
stock
shows.
Her on the shelf. Just throw her on the floor.
What are they doing?
Oh my God. And the tear on my face, it's frozen.
Don't get too close because she's got tuberculosis.
With you today, Little Miss No Name.
Wow.
Oh.
So, how'd that do? So,
not better than Barbie.
Yeah.
No.
There's no Little Miss No Name movie.
No.
Most kids were terrified, and Hasbro quickly discontinued the doll. But it's a big collector's item now.
Nice job, Ruth.
Oh boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
99.1 PLR.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Hey, look, kids, it's Emily's here.
Dumbass.
Hello.
It's not very nice.
Dumbass.
AJ's out. We'll be checking in with him soon. He's home now, which is great.
That's awesome.
Great sign.
An angry elephant tips over a canoe, a ramps tourists into water during a scary encounter. I just like the audio. You know, I like the sound of a pissed off elephant.
Oh, and it's pissed.
Yeah, like just freaking people out. So let's hear it. See, if I'm a tourist right now, I'm like, man, I wanted to go to Florida. You know?
They don't seem to have a plan other than going, hey, hey, hey.
Yeah, making noise.
Like Italy seems nice.
Yeah.
Portugal.
We could be on a beach right now, man.
Greece.
We could be eating gelato.
Mm-hmm. This is the dumbass is the person who takes the money to go to a place where the animals can kill you or eat you. And you're with these guys who don't have shoes, like that sad little doll, basically wearing potato sacks and but with sticks, you know, and you got these elephants and giraffes and gorillas and lions and tigers that could, they look for things like you to eat.
Easy target.
You just wandered into their kitchen. Yeah.
You know how you walk by the store in the mall, it's got the glass and the pizza slices, and you're like, oh, that looks good.
That's what you are to them.
You're a sparrow.
That's what
slice.
You are. You're a walking slice of pizza.
You're that cheesecake at the diner that's been sitting there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right, they just got dumped. So now they're in the water.
Okay. Water moccasins. Gators.
Yeah, I'd be worried about critters in the water.
Little things that could climb in your holes and make you very sick.
Now, what do you do if you're in the other canoe? Are you pulling over to these guys to try to, like, help them?
Depends.
Am I
related to them?
Do I know them or
do I know them?
Sorry, man. There's an elephant coming. Like, I just got to get out of here.
Yeah,
you guys are coming after. There's some people in this building. I'm not. I'm just being honest.
I know, right?
And I know they wouldn't come for me. We have a mutual
understanding.
Thing. We say, yeah. Hi, how's it going? Having a nice day? Good. If you're ever in the water about to be eaten by an alligator, you know, I'm not coming for you.
You
and we're both good with it.
You should have been in the water. I think we both know that.
Sorry, man. I want to go see my family.
Because this is what's happening now is they've been dumped and now they're looking for any place of refuge. And the first place they see is the other canoe. So they start coming over and it's like, what do you want us to? You can't dump both of us.
We don't got room for you.
Sorry, man.
Not good.
Oh, no.
That guy's very helpful.
Oh, no.
Oh, no is an understatement.
It's too late for oh, no.
Oh, no was back when you were in the United States and someone said, you want to go to Africa on vacation? Oh, no.
Oh, no.
That's the oh, no that I say when I drop a slice of pizza. It's like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I forgot my keys.
Oh, no.
I got to go back inside and get my phone. Yeah, that's like, what that is.
I wonder what they did to make this elephant so mad, because they're pretty peaceful creatures.
Yeah.
Like, you have to threaten their young or threaten them, the herd, something. Something got this elephant.
They did have babies.
Upset. They had babies with
it?
Oh, okay, well, there you go.
They got a little close to the babies.
Yeah, they're not going to stop now. It's like, okay, you have identified yourself as a threat. I will stomp you with my massive feet.
You're out of here. Bye.
A friend of mine went to Africa, and she has these beautiful pictures of, like, lions.
Yeah.
And tigers. And just elephants. And, you know, they're just in the wild. This is how they were meant. This isn't behind a zoo cage or at a circus. This is how they live.
Just all mixed together.
They're all mixed together. And I'm like, wow, those are beautiful pictures, but... Like, if I was there taking them, I'd be like, get me out of here.
Yeah, a little scared because they run fast no matter, like, what?
Not to mention mosquitoes that could pick you up and fly you off.
And carry horrible diseases. You got to get a round of shots before you go.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
They drink your blood in one shot. It's like, you become a raisin. You're just a dead friggin' raisin.
You look like an empty Capri Sun pack.
Oh, my God. Guy. How does anyone think this is a thing to do, to go there? No, sir.
And this guy's whole defense is just going, hey. It's like, dude.
Yeah, I want to hear gunfire.
Like, flare gun, something.
Yeah, not at the elephant, but like in the air to startle it. Like,
hey. That's all he's got.
Yeah, that's it.
Now he's using the paddle because he's standing and whacking the water. He's got nothing to do.
Yeah, it's funny with these elephants. They don't know how powerful they are. They have no idea.
I think in this case, they knew. Yeah. In this particular case, like your little boat.
All those people would be dead.
They did push one person under the water.
Oh.
He like kind of kneeled on somebody.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in this video.
That person ever come back up?
I did not see that, but it did seem, I read about the event. I think everybody is okay, but... You see the guy going under, and his face is just like, "What? Someone?" And everyone's like, "No, sorry, man."
All right, yeah, that's like I said. There are people in the, you know, there's just people in life that you know that like you're.
I'm
like,
not diving under an elephant for
I'm
you.
I'm not going to risk my life for you.
I'll be the hey guy. I'll do that.
Yeah.
Oh man.
You win every freaking employee award. You're good. You know, you've been sitting over at the favorite table for, you had a good life, okay?
Yeah, we get it.
You can put all your awards in your friggin' resume. Good for you. Yeah, good. Your obituary. You're good.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Who goes, who looks and says, you know what would be fun?
Let's go piss off some elephants.
Let's go to Africa.
Let's invade their territory.
Man. And then, you know, you gotta, so this friend of mine, she hired the right team. Her dad was very wealthy, and they hired a team of people. But still, even with that, you're at risk.
They tell you, too. Like, the good ones will be like, hey, listen, these are wild animals.
Yeah, we're going out there. And, you know, anything can happen.
Ugh.
Yeah. I like the Mount Everest thing. No.
Yeah, that's not for
not
me.
Not a vacation for me.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
I went to Morocco as part of this solo trip I did when I was 26. And that was like probably the biggest out of my comfort shell I ever did. Cause I like took the boat over from Spain and then took the overnight train through the desert to get to Marrakesh, like by myself. And like, that was a little scary, but I'm not dealing with the elements and animals.
Right. You could have easily been on a Dateline episode. And this one also disappeared.
Yeah. My mom, like Taken had just come out and my mom was freaking out.
To never be seen again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a great vacation. All right, we're just talking about these dumbasses that went to Africa and got attacked by an elephant. I'm sure they deserved it, but, you know, they went to Africa on vacation. All right, so call in if you ever went somewhere dangerous on vacation. 203-882-9757. Bill in Westbrook.
All right, guys, I didn't go, but I got to tell you the story. This guy goes on vacation to Africa on a safari, and two male lions decide that they are going to fight for pride. 5 feet from the van. I'm thinking, I'm not doing that. Then he goes to Antarctica, and all I see him is a picture. He looks like the Pillsbury Marshmallow Man with a big parka in sub-zero weather, sitting on rocks looking at penguins. And I'm like, okay, there's no medical facilities within 2,000 miles.
Right.
Well, this past week, he's in Fiji swimming with the humpback whales.
Wow.
And he got into 4 to 6 feet of water, and he was in bed for 2 days. And I said to him, he sent the video. I sent the video back and say, these are humpback whales off of Provincetown, Cape Cod, that you can see from a 60-foot boat. Tell me, why are you doing this? He said, in case you didn't know it, those are humpback whales. And I said, well, we got them here. And these are $30,000 vacations they're going on. It's insane.
Is there any chance we can talk to this guy? Can you tell him we'd love to talk to him? Not to mock him, but like just to live through him. I'd love to hear the stories safely from this studio.
I'll ask him when he gets back. He's gone for another 3 weeks. When he gets back, I'll ask him. It would be hilarious.
That's a person who, like, they wouldn't survive on a vacation to Italy or Portugal.
Or Disney. They'd be like, what do we do?
Like, this is boring. Why am I here? This is stupid. He has to feel like he's in danger.
Exactly. I can't get him to go spend 2 weeks down at Sandals in Grenada.
Right. That's not relaxing to him. Beautiful. Sandals is a nightmare. He sees people just getting fat and drinking.
Sitting still is a chore.
Everything's organized.
Yeah. And as safe as can be. He's like, I got to be in the middle of danger.
What is he? You guys know, jumping out of airplanes. Go ahead.
What does he do for a living?
He is a horizontal driller, but we're semi-retired, so he's playing.
That sounds like a dangerous job.
Yeah. Sounds like he likes adrenaline.
Well, apparently, because every time he does it, it's like, okay, keep going. One of these days, something's going to happen.
No, but the drilling sounds dangerous.
Yeah, just his day-to-day.
It's not like he's an accountant.
Oh, no. It's not that bad. The horizontal's pretty good.
Okay.
You're going underneath things versus going straight down.
Okay.
So it's a pretty decent job. It's a very unique skill set.
Huh. Wow.
But now he's, by the way, jumping out of airplanes and jumping off cliffs, that's pretty extreme, too.
It is. I only did that once. I jumped out of an airplane once because I thought if I confront my fear, I would control fear. Mm-hmm. Nah, not so much.
No.
Still afraid of heights.
I flew at Embry-Riddle, and I took a friend, and he ended up, we chased him across the runway because the parachute got wrapped around his neck.
Oh.
And we saved him. We caught him. And I'm like, I was supposed to jump next, and I said, not on your life. It's not happening.
And I didn't mean any disrespect to the elderly person I passed on. I respect elders immensely. But I didn't think he had the physical capacity to get us out of trouble if we were to get knotted up in the air. So that was the only thing.
Yeah.
You know, it sounded like I just felt like I sounded rude. I didn't mean it to sound rude.
They didn't even fight you that much on it because they want you to be comfortable. Yeah. If you're up there panicking, you're a danger to everybody.
Right.
So it's like, okay, no problem. We'll swap.
No doubt.
All right, Bill. Thank you.
So we are bigger guys, okay? We are 66 years old now. We should not be in 6 feet of water. Swimming anywhere, chasing freaking whales. My response back to him was, I said, you better watch out for Mama. She might think you're one of the cast.
You never know. All right, Bill. Thank you, man.
I'll see you.
Have him call us.
Hook us up with your buddy.
Yeah.
Charlie, Long Island.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
Good, thank you.
I guess I am the dumbass because we were in Africa 6 months ago for a safari vacation, and it was incredible.
Really?
Good.
All right, let's live through you now safely from the studio. Did you encounter anything that felt dangerous?
Oh, yeah. The safari truck, right, it's a 4x4 open vehicle, open 4x4, canvas doors, no windows. And my very first question was, is this okay?
is this going to make it?
Yeah. But the way they explain it, as long as you stay in the vehicle, the animals view you as a big, giant metal thing that they can't eat and has never bothered them before. If you get out, now you're on the menu, you know?
Interesting.
It was one of the
see, I've seen cans of food, and I thought, I can open that, and I'll eat what's inside.
That's a good point. I didn't think of that.
Yeah. That's why don't bring me on these trips. I'll ruin it for you. Go ahead.
That's fine. One of the safari drives, it was in the evening, and we're sitting in the car, and about 15 feet off to our left, is a pride of lions actively eating an antelope.
Wow.
We were there while they were having their dinner. And that was probably the number one top time where it felt like maybe we shouldn't be here. But well, it was overall an amazing trip.
Now, it's the hungry ones you worry about, not the ones that are engaged in a meal.
Yeah, they're distracted.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because that's the whole thing, catching the food. Once they get the blood in their mouth, they're like, I'm here for a while. I'm busy.
Yeah, as long as you're not trying to take that meal away from them, I think you're fine.
It's the ones that are looking like,
I haven't had food.
I got an appetite for humans.
Yeah, right?
Those people look damn tasty.
Like, never shop while hungry. You're the Oreos in that situation.
Yeah. Were you, you know, besides that moment, were you bitten by anything? Or did you see any giant spiders or giant mosquitoes?
Not bitten by anything. We were on a hiking trail through what's referred to as the Tsitsikamma National Park. And I saw, you know, people on the trail as they're walking, they're kind of jumping off to the side. I'm like, what's going on up there? When I got there, there was a snake that was on the side of the trail. I think snakes are cool. I have my camera that I got specifically for the trip. So I get down on one knee and I'm right in front of the snake and I'm taking its picture and stuff. And it wasn't, you know, didn't seem bothered by it in any way.
How far in front of this? How
You had snake and you're like,
No, I got to tell you, that thing bites you.
Yeah.
Where's the nearest hospital or like walk-in? Do you have any walk-ins here?
How far do we got to go?
You're a drive away. But anyway, so I'm taking pictures of it. We get back to, you know, our tour guide and showing him pictures, you know, and he goes, oh, yeah, that's a rhombic night adder. They're venomous. I was like, oh, my goodness. I didn't know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And then away from me.
The other thing is just walking down the trail. A tarantula could just like fall out of a tree on your head.
A monkey could punch you. Like, you don't know.
a swarm of angry monkeys. Like, let's go beat up some people. Yeah, I'm sick of them. They're taking our bananas and they just come down and just beat the crap out of you.
What could happen?
Oh, you didn't think of any of that before you went? You're pretty laid back.
I guess so. I don't know. Either laid back or stupid. I don't know. It was beautiful. It's gorgeous.
No, I get that.
You know?
It's also a lot of trust in the animals and the people that are guiding you. It's a lot of trust in those folks.
Yeah.
Well, actually, one thing we also did while we were there, we went cage diving with sharks.
Are you like former military or something, or what's your deal? Are you got a death wish? What's happening?
You in the circus?
No, the animals are amazing. God's creation is incredible, and I guess the illusion of safety is enough for me.
Okay. All right. That's a very honest answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not me. I think too much. I could talk myself out of that trip in a second.
When everyone sees the pictures and the videos, especially of us diving with the sharks, they all have the same exact reaction of that's absolutely insane.
Yeah, not going to do it.
It was pretty cool.
Man, it sounds like a great trip. I'd like to see it from the comfort of my couch. Jamaica Jeffries in studio. How are you?
Listen, I am furious, but I'm good.
Good. I like furious.
Yeah.
You're running for mayor in Hamden.
I am.
You were running as a Democrat, and then they didn't allow you to do that. What happened?
Oh my gosh. I mean, where do I start? You know, again, I call it democracy hypocrisy, right? They say that everybody has a right to get in the race and has a fair shake, but I found out that just as a layperson, you have to be connected. And I'm using air quotes right there, right?
Well, one of the people running was the person in charge of letting you run.
Thank you.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so it doesn't seem right. You should be excluded from one or the other. You can't be in both processes.
Well, you know, this is the resounding issue we have in our town is that it's a conundrum of conflicts of interest. All right. When you look at who the Democratic town chair is, Sean Grace, he's also the chief of staff. Right. So can you get a fair shake there? This is why you couldn't get a nomination.
Right.
Right. It's the fix is in pretty much, folks. But I still have hope. OK, because the people are going to show up.
Well, what happened? So someone was had us talking to from the Secretary of State, correct?
Oh, yeah. She was reprimanded, as a matter of fact.
So you show up, you have like 200 plus signatures.
Yeah.
And she just eliminates 100 of them.
Yeah.
And doesn't give a reason why.
Yes, that's what happened
okay,
to us.
And then that's why you weren't on the in the primary.
We knew we were fighting an uphill battle, folks. I mean, the atmosphere in that office when my team would go in to drop off any of our signatures was completely toxic. And to my point, this isn't just some woman making a complaint, you know, as they like to try to put out that I didn't have enough signatures and so blah, blah, blah. No, we are the hardest working campaign out there right now and have been since February. What wound up happening was, guys, is that this woman was just belligerent, so much and so. The woman who was in charge of counting my particular signatures, right, my petitions that came in, quit because she said it was toxic in the office. And to your point, I mean, I filed a complaint with the SEEC, right? Because we're not going to take anything that any of them are doing in that town government center lying down. All right. And that's why I'm in this race, is because we need someone that's a fighter. We need someone that's not going to turn around and tuck their tail at the first show of opposition.
We'll get into the disaster that is Hamden in a second, because it's sad when you look at the books.
Oh.
And you have a real problem coming. There's a storm coming no one's talking about. But let me go through some of the people you're running against here.
Yes.
Jonathan Katz, 24-year-old Republican.
Do we need to say anything else?
He's 24 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, some young people are very smart at 24.
They are. Some people are very smart at 24 years old. However, to your point, there's a hailstorm on the horizon. And like I've been telling folks, first and foremost, the people that are running, from my purview, right, you have Adam Sindroff, who, very nice man.
Well, let me go through the list here.
Yeah.
So, Jonathan Katz, what's your problem with him?
My problem? I don't have a problem with anyone running.
Right.
Let me just make that clear.
He lives
clear.
With his parents. You don't have a problem with that?
What, that he lives with his parents?
Yeah.
I mean, he's smart, right? I mean.
Okay, save money.
Right, he's saving money.
All right.
Good for him. But, again, I say, can
you
really?
I feel like if you're not running a household, I don't know if I want you to run
I hope he's not doing his laundry. That's embarrassing.
I don't know the guy. He might be nice.
That's the general consensus, folks, is that how can he really feel our pain if he doesn't feel it in his pocket the way the rest of us do? And
right.
I've met him. Very nice gentleman.
Yeah.
All right. But we're in a dog fight, and you can't bring cats to a dog fight. All right. You need something with teeth.
Yeah. Patricia Verna, whatever.
Socialist. Admit it, socialist. She introduced herself to me as a socialist.
So she's the Green Party candidate.
Correct.
Doesn't have a shot in hell, right?
Not if you like hell.
I like democracy. I like different parties, but generally Green Party, not a real contender.
Not a contender.
Okay. And then Adam Sindroff.
Yes. I mean,
won the Democratic primary in a landslide, quote, landslide.
A landslide?
Yeah.
There's what, 65,000 people in the town. His votes, he got, what, 2,492, right?
2,492?
Something, roughly, give or take.
2,466.
2,466. I mean, do you really count that as a landslide? I think more people voted against voting for him than they did for voting for him.
Oh, really?
If you look at it statistically, you mean to tell me out of that playing field, that's the most you can muster up to get to the polls to vote for you? And again, you all, I heard, because I wasn't at the polls, obviously, right? People were showing up at the polls saying, "Is Jamaica's not on this list. I'm going home." Okay? So, again, the people are going to speak come October 20th and come November 4th. We're banking
on
the people.
Wait, what's October 20th?
October 20th is early voting.
Okay.
That's when it starts.
All right.
Okay? Right at the Miller Library. You come there. If you're not in town on November 4th, you can vote early. That's what we're really pushing for. Voter turnout is going to be huge for us.
Hamden had a massive tax increase, right? Property tax?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes. The reval came in, and that was the excuse they were using for just breaking the backs of the people even more. And when I showed up, as you know, my thing was this. You cannot continue to burden the people, which obviously, you know, 80% of the town's revenue come from the taxpayers. That in and of itself is a breach.
20%, the state.
Well, 20% would be, you know, all the other avenues, right? The commercial piece, right? But we don't have enough commercial revenue to support our town. That's the biggest problem. We have no economic development plan whatsoever. Up until now, you all.
Well, you have a lot of weed shops, so that's good.
You know how I feel about that.
I do know. That's why I said it. I'm just glad you're not climbing over the counter to attack me. You know,
well,
I'm on your side.
Guys, listen. I mean, I'm appalled at what's been taking place. Do you know that there's another one coming?
Another what?
Another cannabis shop. Okay, a dispensary.
Like you don't have enough.
Like they're gonna grow the weed, and then they're gonna dispense the weed to the people. And there's gonna be, I think, 40 apartments attached to the cannabis shop.
Oh, great! So right? They don't even have to get in their cars.
Right. What? You know, I mean, what sense does that make? And this is what I'm trying to tell you and the audience out there today. My goal in this whole campaign was to replace nonsense with common sense. Because it's just not existing right now. I don't know if you know this, but I was in a legislative budget council meeting last night where the people were outraged because they just bought the police chief a brand new Chevy Tahoe with all the bells and whistles, by the way. And ironically enough, one of the gentlemen that picks up trash, he's got a full-time job, but he wants to try to keep the southern end of Hamden clean, calls the mayor's office and says, hey, you know, the man that has the electric wheelchair is having problems getting down the sidewalk. Could you please come and, you know, try to fix the sidewalk where it's buckled? And she tells him there's no money in the budget. Well, guess what? There's no money in the budget because you spent it on the chief's brand new vehicle that he did not need, by the way. Wasteful spending, folks.
What was he driving before that?
A newer Ford. I think it was an Explorer.
All right. So it had a couple more years life in it.
Oh, what? More than a couple. It was new, too, from what I understand. So why do we continue to reward bad behavior? And listen, I thought
I was... Are you saying the police are bad?
No, absolutely not. I love the police. What I'm saying is the behavior of the leadership in this town is bad.
Oh, I see.
Our spending habits are bad.
Why re-elect these dopes?
Well, again...
Basically what you're saying.
Listen, I thought I was running against Adam Sindroff, but I don't know if you all saw the picture last week at his fundraiser. I'm not running against Adam Sindroff. I'm running against Lauren Garrett incarnate.
The mayor now.
The current mayor now. She was at his fundraiser. Elbows locked, arm in arm, singing Kumbaya pretty much in this
picture.
Okay,
so she'll get a job in his administration.
That's what it's looking like.
Yeah.
Okay? It'll be Lauren Kirtling 2.0. All right? And we can afford this, folks. We cannot afford a repeat. You know the definition of insanity.
Yep.
Right? Doing the same thing.
What is it again?
Same things over and over. There you go.
And expecting different results.
Expecting a different result.
That's right.
We've been suffering for the past 10 years. This gentleman, Adam Sindroff, you all, and I have the facts sitting right here in front of me. When he got on the Board of Education, because people are touting, oh, he was on the Board of Ed for 10 years. You know what? The Board of Ed's budget increased over $10 million under his tenure.
Yee.
And what did we get from it?
Subpar
test scores from our students.
What are like the grades? How are the kids? I just love that you're really mad.
I'm sorry.
I feel bad for Hamden. You know,
I
want good things for Hamden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, you know, we have
right, so
to stand
top three
up.
Things Jamaica Jeffries would do if she were to win and
Day
became
one.
Mayor.
Day one, you all, our town is suffering from a lack of transparency. You've heard me say it ad nauseum. We still don't know what's in our fund balance. We still haven't received financial statements, and we still don't have an audit.
Can you imagine what that's going to be like?
It's going to be nuts. But guess what?
Ugh.
At least we know if we hire the right person, if we vote in the right elected official, we have a shot, all right, of getting ourselves out of this.
Yeah, because you first have to identify the problem.
Yes.
To fix it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And they won't even give us the data, the information, which is our inalienable right, by
the
way.
It's going to be pretty bad when
all right?
people get that.
We've asked for our FOIA reports, I mean, which is a Freedom of Information Act request that we've put in. And they refuse to give it to us. So the first thing I have to do day one is do my forensic audit. Right. We got to take a look at every department and the town government center. See, first and foremost.
So this is just the last year, or is this multiple years? How far do you look back?
This dates back all the way to when this first really started, which was under Barbara DiNicola back in 1998.
Whoa.
That was where it first started. She was the first one to not fund the pensions fully. And she projected $4.4 million. Okay, by the way. But she only put in $1.4 million. Huh? Tricky, poly-tricky math. And then Kurt Lang showed
you. Politricky.
Politricky math.
Oh, man, you have to copyright that.
Come on. It's politricky. It's sticky, sticky, icky math. What's happening, guys? Yeah. And then it repeated again under Carla Minto.
How do you think you'll do? Do you feel pretty good out there?
Listen, I feel so confident right now because we have been so resilient, guys. I mean, if I was going to drop out, I would have did it 6, 7, 8 months ago, right? When they started acting up and, you know, making me feel like I'm not a part of the cool kids club. Guess what? I don't need to be a part of your clique. I'm a part of the clique that supports the people. I'm with the people. This is the people's campaign. All right. Well, we put people over party. If you look at my billboard, and I caught slack about my billboard because I simply asked a question. I said, Hamden, isn't it time for lower taxes? Do you know what some liberal had the nerve to write on social media? They said, it's mathematically impossible for you to lower taxes, right?
I said, it probably is, right? No?
But guess what? It's mathematically impossible for a family to stay in their house if we continue to raise the taxes on them year after year.
That is a great point.
Come on, man. So again, what is going to be the solution? We have to get creative. But before we can do any type of proper budgeting, we need what? Financial statements. We need...
We got to know what we got before
we can get what we want.
We got to roll, but we got to have you back. The time with you goes so fast.
What? It's over? Yeah. I was just getting started.
I know.
But so listen.
Hit up Ruth on the way out there. Ruth lives in Hamden, by the way.
Does she?
She is happy with taxes.
No, it's horrible. And guys, listen, tomorrow we're going to be at Portofino for our fundraiser. So if there's anybody out there, if you're a volunteer, if you want to volunteer and help with our effort, we're still knocking doors.
Great.
Listen, our foot is still on the gas all the way up until November 4th because the people need to vote row E. E for efficiency. E for the energy I'm going to give them. E, okay, for efficacy. E because we need this town to elevate. All right, and I'm Jamaica Jeffries, and I approve this message.
Ah, you're great. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we're at the Pepe's 100-year anniversary, and I see these two guys who made the pizza movie. All right, pizza, a love story, and I love these guys. I consider them friends, and they made a friggin' masterpiece, beautiful tribute to New Haven Pizza. And they know their stuff. So I'm happy to see them, and we start talking. And about 5 seconds into our conversation, they see Paul Giamatti walk in, and they walk away from me. Completely. You just dropped me like a hot potato.
It was more than 5 seconds, and Paul owed me money. And it was my only shot to get my money from him.
Yeah, you're trying to talk him into getting into some movie or something or whatever. What did you have to talk to him about that was so
actually
important?
I'm friends with Mark Maron. You know Mark Maron?
Yeah.
Oh, and
yeah.
They're buddies.
The
and he said, oh, if you see Paul, you know, da-da-da-da. It was that kind of thing. I know he was going to get swallowed. He was going to get swallowed up.
You had to run away from me to tell him that Mark Maron said hello.
No, it was more.
No, you were hitting him up for something, right?
We were. Actually, we wanted him to do the narration for the museum.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
And it was more than, we talked a little bit. It wasn't 5 seconds in.
Okay. It was 10.
Was more like 62 seconds, if there's such a thing.
So it's like 30 seconds.
And I apologize.
But with us, it feels like 5 seconds.
It went by fast.
And I apologize on the next day when you posted that. And it's like, we love you.
No,
it was. Yeah.
What am I going to do? Not give you trouble?
We deserve
it. It's my job.
And we'd not be on brand.
What a nice event that was.
All right. Dean Falcone, Gorman Bouchard in studio. And you're opening up this pizza wing of the New Haven Museum?
Yeah. It's a big exhibit. About 5 years ago, we started talking to them about it, and literally right before COVID. And of course, that sort of sidetracked everything. And it just seemed like a no-brainer.
Yeah. Who, full disclosure, before I knew you guys were involved, I heard about this pizza wing in the museum. I'm like, why would you go to this pizza wing of this museum when you're in New Haven and you could actually go to Pepe's or go to Sally's, which are the living, breathing and modern museums of pizza.
A lot of it has to do with there's a lot of false history out there. And, you know,
like what?
Just the years, how things happen, how things, you know, I mean, people like to claim that there is better pizza. You know, there's the whole Connecticut Pizza Trail, things like that, you know.
What do you think of that trail?
Because it
waters it down.
You're coming from Montana, and you're going to look at this trail and go, oh, I can go here, anywhere here, and
there's
get
like
great
pizza. Places,
there's too many places.
There's
like 127 places.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they boiled it down to, like, the good 20, not that all these places are bad, it just doesn't represent what they're saying it represents.
A few of them are god-awful. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
A few of them are.
You know, it's
which ones?
Like cafeteria.
Mystic Pizza.
Oh,
Mystic?
It's god-awful.
Was Mystic on there?
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool place to go.
You go there if you like the movie.
History, yes.
Yeah.
It's a cool
but you don't go there to eat pizza.
The pizza's god-awful. That's...
I will say I had it on a Sunday morning after drinking all night, and it wasn't bad.
So Stouffer's is too.
Yeah.
Good point.
Maybe even better. Jeez. You can control how you cook it.
Right.
So, okay. And we're also presenting some true holy grails of pizza history. I mean, we've gotten, especially from the Pepe family, have given us amazing things. We have the oldest known pizza box.
From 1936. A pizza box ever. Frank Pepe's original hat, the one in all the pictures.
It's got holes in it.
It's got sweat stains.
Yeah. Dude, that's like having Abe Lincoln's top hat.
Exactly.
It's literally a holy grail. I mean, we have the first cash register he ever had and the receipt for buying when he bought the cash register in 1928.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wow. It's just cool stuff to see in person. And you feel it, you know.
I love that someone somewhere was like, we got to hold on to all this stuff.
Well, that's really cool.
They're Italian.
You know, I was going to say it's old Italian. Yeah. We got everything.
We might need it.
And now it is needed.
It is needed.
They paid $78 for it, actually, whoever just said how much you pay for that.
And how much, imagine what $78 was in 1926.
That's very true.
Wow.
Very true. But, I mean, we found receipts to show how many paper flats. They used to put the pizzas on a paper flat and then wrap it in brown paper and tie a string
like
around
a bakery.
It. And so we found the number of paper slats that they bought and when they stopped buying them. So we were able to calculate the number of pizzas they had bought in a certain year and then when they started going to pizza boxes.
Holy crap.
I mean, it's
okay. I'm convinced. Yeah. All right. We're going to just have an honest discussion about pizza in New Haven now. Dean Falcone, Gorman Bouchard in studio. They made Pizza a Love Story, this movie. If you haven't seen it, you got to do it. If you like pizza, you'll love this movie. They're in studio. They're opening up a wing at the New Haven Museum dedicated to New Haven pizza. And, you know, before I knew these guys were involved, I was on saying, well, why would you go to this thing when you could just go to Pepe's or one of the greats in New Haven? That's the living, breathing museum. Right. But then they're saying they got the first pizza box. They got Frank Pepe's hat. They got the original cash register from Pepe's. They got, I'm going to make my trip there.
Yeah, and then go get pizza, then go to the museum, make an event out of it.
It will definitely make you hungry. We've been eating pizza every day as we're putting this thing up.
Yeah. I'd have to go before and after the museum, like different spots.
Right. Yeah, it's good if you can do the walking after you eat, because I can't tie my shoes anymore.
So it's like, all right, so we'll link up. Is it alive? Is it running? Is it up and going now?
It opens Thursday night at 5:30
this Thursday.
Cool.
2 days.
Thanks for inviting me to the opening.
You are invited. We have
now. I am.
Yeah. No. We have. It's all
I'm
getting
sorry.
Set up
was
today.
Paul Giamatti on the phone? Yeah.
There's room on the
guys.
List now.
Yeah. No, we'll definitely. You know what? I'm going to go see John Cafferty Friday night.
Great.
So maybe I'll figure. What are the hours?
Friday night it's 5:30 till 8:00, and then the normal hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I believe 11 or noon till 5 p.m. on Saturday.
You know, we got to have you back because we three agree that Connecticut screwed up this pizza trail.
Yeah.
God. Yeah.
horrible.
Completely.
It's bad.
It's way too big. It should have like been focused on New Haven and then sort of slowly radiated out to a dozen places.
Well, Colony and Stanford should be on it, correct?
I agree with you. Yep, yes.
Absolutely. Okay. They have their thing. They don't claim
Roseland
to be anything.
And Derby.
Roseland and Derby. Yeah. Supardi's in West Haven.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Your big three in New Haven.
Ernie's.
You could add Bar. Ernie's, of course. Yep.
Bar. I would even add Zanelli's because I think Zanelli's is not New Haven style, but the best that's not New Haven style.
Okay.
I'm new to this one. I've heard a lot of excellent things.
This one just made my radar this week.
Ben Affleck was just there.
Exactly.
That's why it made my radar.
So it's like Napolitano pizza. Like if you're in Naples, that's a pizza you get. It's big, fat, fluffy pizza.
Doughy.
That you're allowed to eat with a fork and knife.
It's also the best Italian restaurant. They have the Cacio Pepe will blow your mind.
It's perfect. It's not globby. It's light. It's how it's
like. Okay, so outside of Stanford, is there anything in Bridgeport?
Brewport.
Brewport.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, Brewport.
Dominic and Pia's in Waterbury.
Okay, that came up.
Yep.
And then there's the Dominic and Vinny's. There's the two Dominic in Waterbury.
Well, Dominic and Vinny's was actually my childhood pizza place.
Interesting.
When I was growing. It was just Dominic's back then. It's good, but I don't know that I would put it on a pizza list.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, despite having grown up with it.
All right. That is not the voice of Chaz. The voice of Chaz is this voice, and Chaz will be going there. Speaking to myself in the third person. Yes.
There's probably a couple places in Hartford, the West Hartford area, but I don't really go up there much. So we're doing a screening of Pizza Love Story Friday night at Real Artways, and they're going to be bringing in two different types of.
Who's this Anthony guy?
He's the guy who runs the Connecticut
state tourism
department, and he came up with that New York ads, which we're not fans
of. Right, which is saying that you think you're number one over New York pizzerias.
They're putting the signs above the pizzerias,
And next to them.
That doesn't seem in the spirit.
It does
of
not
love.
Seem in the spirit.
No.
It's a food group. It's not.
It seems kind of dickish.
It's not cool. It makes us look bad, and it's not.
It's embarrassing.
It takes the passion away, and now it's like.
I mean, we are basically trying to tell the history of New Haven of Beats with respect, with honor, and with a dedication.
Passion and
to
love.
Truth.
No malice.
We don't need to be saying. I don't believe New Haven needs to boast that it's the best because all you need to do is take a bite.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And then we're getting these pizza plates. Wasn't that Colin?
That was totally Colin's idea.
Yeah. That was Colin's idea.
So it seems like some other people are trying to take credit for it now. And Colin, I mean, it's documented and Colin was coming up with it.
Yeah.
I mean,
Colin ever made a pizza in his life? Like,
does. He cooks at home.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's good.
All right. But how did he become like the pizza czar?
He just loves history and he loves pizza and he started like putting the two and two together. And that's when we were making the movie. Yep. We needed some really historic pictures. We brought Colin in. That's how we sort of got involved with Colin.
I feel like you three guys started this whole thing and then Portnoy like lit it on fire.
Well, you know that Portnoy first said that New Haven's the pizza capital in our film. Two years before he tweeted it.
We had to push him because he had never said that on record. And we were filming him and Gorman's like, can you, make this claim? Because you've kind of said it before. And what's stopping you? Because he says they're almost the pizza capital. It's like, why?
There was one place, which I'm not going to mention, but there was one place that he didn't think held up. But when we said no, we really got to just count Pepe's, Sally's,
if you take that one off and think about the three, and he goes, oh, well, then absolutely it's a capital. And then he said it on film, and then he's continued to, to say it.
And that's where it started. So you guys started that.
Yeah. And we have that, we have it on films, which is the nice thing. That was 2018 or 19.
It's hard to say you started it when the Pepe family has been at it for 100 years.
I think we started the ball rolling.
You got people
this.
To take a look.
Yeah,
and to take
trend.
It seriously, to realize
honestly,
that.
Not to toot our own horn, but before the movie, I mean, New Haven wasn't in the conversation. It was New York and Chicago, period. You know?
And now all of a sudden everyone's talking about
I don't know about that, but it's elevated to a different level. Yeah.
We knew here, outside of New Haven.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
All right. We got to have you back. We want to talk about the museum, but also I need your help straightening out this pizza trail.
Yeah.
Maybe we just need to come up.
We can't leave it to whoever handled
no,
that.
No, it's not right.
It's too many places. Yeah, it's way too many places.
And I'm not saying any other places are bad.
No, the thing is,
besides, Gorman said Mystic Pizza shouldn't be on there.
In quotes.
Don't go there again.
I would not go to Mystic Pizza. If I'm in Mystic, I'm not going for pizza.
If somebody from out of state comes and they take that trail and they go to some of these places, it's just not. They're going to go.
What's the big deal?
Right.
And you know.
Not an accurate representation.
Some of the places.
It's too many places.
I've had better
and
pizza
also,
in Ohio.
The state is really
places,
trying to put
saying...
that Connecticut is the pizza capital. It's not. Connecticut's home to the pizza capital.
New Haven.
Which is New Haven.
Yeah.
New Haven is the pizza capital, period. End of story.
They're right. Trying to find something to market.
All right, we gotta go. We gotta have you back.
Thank you.
We're gonna link
so
up to the museum.
Us.
Congratulations on this. Nice job elevating the awareness of New Haven Pizza around the world.
Thank you.
Great job.
Yes.